Good evening. Welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight I have best-selling romance author A.M. Madden. She is a USA Today best-selling author, as well as a 2016 ELIT Gold Medalist for Best Romance Ebook and a 2016 IPPIS Award Silver Medalist for Best Romance Ebook. A.M. is a wife, a mother, an avid reader of romance novels, and now an author. She says, quote, "It's all about the happy ever after." A.M. Madden is the author of the popular backup series, as well as several other contemporary romances. She also writes the True Heroes series for Random House. A.M. truly believes that true love knows no bounds. In her books, she aspires to create fun, sexy, realistic romances that will stay with you long after the last page has been turned. She strives to create characters that the reader can relate to and feel as if they know them personally. A self-proclaimed hopeless romantic, she loves getting lost in a good book. She also uses every free moment of her time writing while spending quality time with her three handsome men. A.M. is a Gemini and an Italian Jersey girl, but despite her zodiac sign, nationality, or home state, she is very easygoing. She loves the beach, loves to laugh, and loves the idea of love. You can find out more about her at her website, which is www.ammadden.com. And you can find that link right here. And on that link, you can also find all our social media links. So please welcome to the show, A.M. Madden.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome from Jersey.
From Jersey. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. I am so glad we were able to get you on.
Thanks.
So are you enjoying the nice warm summer up there? You guys have been having like extra heat.
It took a while. It went pretty much from winter to summer, but we finally have it now. So, yes, we're enjoying it, thank God. It's very short-lived up here, so the minute it turns nice, we're running.
Yeah.
Running to the beach.
I was telling you before the show that my daughter's going up there, my ex-sister-in-law up there, but I just call her Sissy. Sissy, if you're listening. Hi, Sissy. She says the same thing. She likes to escape down here to Texas during the winter because she says the winter just lasts forever and it's crazy.
Yeah. That's how we feel here. But the summers are great. So it's all about the summer here.
There you go. Well, welcome to the show and congratulations for all of your awards this year. That sounds like a great year for you in the writing business.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's very crazy, surreal.
So how long have you been at the game? When did you start your writing journey?
I started 2014, January, was when I published Backup. I actually republished it. I published it a couple of months before, but I literally put the cart before the horse and had no idea what I was doing. So I kind of regrouped and stopped and did some research and then republished it in January of 2014.
Okay.
So it's just over 2 years, 2.5 years.
And so you're a hybrid author. You started with self-pub.
Yes. Yes.
And then now you are. Go ahead.
I signed on with Random House last year. It's just a year now. It'll be a year in October. So, but the first year and a half, 2 years, I was self-published only.
Well, it's kind of the best of both worlds when you're. This is what I'm finding out from all my author friends. It's kind of like, you know, you like the control, but then, you know, you like to be with the traditional and feel that whole traditional oneness with a publisher, too. So, well, congratulations on that, too.
Thank you so much.
So when you started your writing journey, what was it that said, hey, I need to sit down and write the story? Were you always a reader of romance before that?
Yes,
or?
I've been a reader of romance for most of my life. Since I was 13 and I snuck a Judy Blume under my mattress. reading is really the hat that I wear. And it's kind of strange to consider myself an author, but I'm a reader first and foremost.
Uh-huh.
I still read avidly and still in the romance genre. That's my favorite genre. I mean, I'll do mystery and other genres, but pretty much my favorite's romance.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of just started it as a almost like a little project, and had a dream that turned into this idea that turned into backup, and then started writing this book. And I was working full time at the time, and it took me 6 months to write that first book. But I thought no one was going to read it, but you know, my sister and maybe a friend or two. And then I got laid off
from
my company. Yeah, I was with them for 24 years, and they moved to New York. And I wasn't really willing to do the commute at this point in my life. It's a pretty rough commute from where I am. And I took the package and decided, you know what, let's see what happens with this book. And the rest is history, basically.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's like, what is serendipity, or, you know, like happy circumstances or whatever, you know, you probably
it's
weren't expecting
happy.
That, but.
A complete second career at that point in my life, you know, it's just, it's kind of hard to wrap my brain around it even till to this day. And it's really surreal, very surreal.
So you took that dive and you, you sat down, you know, put the butt in the chair, wrote and published the first one. And what did you think after that? I mean, were you like, I really did this? Oh my gosh. Now what?
It was so different. Even just back 2 years ago, it was very different. So it, you kind of just, like, I threw it out there, not expecting, like I said, anyone to really read it or know about it. The first person to read it was my mother. And she loved it.
Well, that's good.
And then she's read every one of my books and is my biggest fan, and just says, as long as I don't connect that my daughter wrote these, I'm pretty good.
Yes.
She's a huge support, but and a friend or two read it, and you know, that was it. And then I remember it was a Saturday morning. I published on a Thursday. I actually took the day off from work to publish, and then that Saturday I got my first little alert that I sold the book. I was like,
oh,
what?
Wow.
This is crazy. Yeah, I actually did a happy dance in my house, but it was, there was no expectations. There was no, you know, stress. It was probably the easiest book I released. Absolutely, by far the easiest book, because with each book it has gotten, you know, the pressure has increased, the nerves have increased, the bar that you want to meet hasn't, you know, gotten higher. It's just, with each book it gets harder. It really does.
And then you get a publisher and you get deadlines, like hard deadlines.
Yeah, that kind of, like, you know, sit on your shoulder and tap you every so often, like, hello, get off Facebook.
Yeah, right. Facebook is the biggest sucker of time, I swear.
Yeah.
But hey, that's how we all know each other.
That's
why
right.
You can
I
walk up
great
to a
people.
Reader and go, I talked to you like a million times on Facebook. That's so cool.
It is cool. Really cool.
I mean, you know, as a reader, it's cool, and you know, you've gotten to know an author that you really admire, and then you go to one of these events and you meet him, and you're like, oh my God, I've just been talking to him the whole time, and we're like best friends.
I do that. No, I still
silly.
Do that.
Yeah. I don't think you ever stop. I seriously, I hope you never stop, because if you do, then that's probably when, you know, you probably need a ticker. But
yeah,
because I mean, we're always writers are always growing, just like readers. Readers are always growing because we're always finding new material to open our, you know, open our minds a little bit. And it's funny how I talk to so many romance authors. I talk about I have all the ideas for research about romance readers, because I think we're like the most compassionate people in the world, because we are just you know, inundated with so much caring and love, because we read so much about it. You know, we're always in the happily ever after world. So
it's true. They are very passionate.
We are very higher endorphins than everybody else, because, you know, we've had the high of the happily ever after, or reading that good love scene, or the good cry at the end, or, you know, whatever. So,
yeah,
we're good people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're passionate.
Yeah. So, have you done, like, writer events, you know, author events where you've gone out and met your readers?
I have. The first year that I wrote, I went to, I think, 3 or 4 signings. Most of them were local. Mm-hmm. And then last year I traveled to Chicago, Florida. There were at least 3 or 4 that I went to that I had to travel to, and then a couple locals also. And it's great. I mean, finally putting the face to the name, and people that chatted with you for, you know, have been following you, have been reading you since day one, and now, you know, they come to see you, and it's, again, so surreal. Like, I'm like, me? You sure you're coming to see me? I, you know, it's just hard to wrap your brain around it, and these people have been great. They've been just wonderful. Such huge support system within the reading community, so it's a blessing. One of the many, but definitely one of the biggest blessings.
Well, and it's neat because, you know, probably when you sat down to write the book the first time, like you said, it was just a project. It was just something. And, you know, you probably at the first, you were just writing it more for yourself than you were actually thinking other people might enjoy this.
Yeah, I filled it with things that I love. It's, you know, it's a tribute to Springsteen. It's a tribute to Jersey. It's everything that I am as a person is in that first book. So it kind of was just, you know, for me. And it just evolved into a whole series of books, and people actually like the characters, and it's hard to wrap your brain around it. It really is.
Yeah, it's almost a magical thing that people read what you created and enjoy it on the same level that you enjoy other people's writing. You know, and you think, wow, that's really cool.
Right.
And then, you know, they have those moments with you that you might have with another author. And that's just a cool thing. I think it's, almost an evolution of a romance reader to come to become a writer and come this full evolution. So it's very cool. It's a journey that a lot of people who aspire look to people like you to go, look, they did it. They evolved, and I can do it too, you know.
Right.
So you're like the evolved. Yeah, you're like the evolved Pikachu, the evolved Pokemon, or whatever. You've evolved to the highest level. Awesome. There you go.
Never played that game a day in my life.
Oh, you can tell I have kids.
I managed to escape, even with two boys. I managed to escape playing that game.
Oh, my. Yeah. No, I have. My daughter was really big into it, and now she's brought my my five-year-old, or almost five-year-old, along. So, yay me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's all fun. So when you were talking about always being a romance reader and hiding the Judy Blume and stuff, who would you say some of your big influences were, you know, as growing up as far as authors and things you read? I mean, it doesn't even have to be romance, but.
I love James Patterson. I read most of his books, but I kind of stuck to the romance genre even back then. And you know, through high school and into college, like Danielle Steele, anything she put out, I read from cover to cover. You know, and then I started, you know, with Jackie Collins and moving into that kind of thing. And I would probably average four romance books to one other, and other could be mystery or, you know, anything other than. But the romance was always what I came back to. So, you know, it's always been, I have been true to the happily ever after. You know, I've read the books that are cliffhangers, and I've read the books that you know, may not end in the HEA, but it, to me, I can't, with all that's going on in the world, even on TV, you know, I stick to my rom-coms, I stick to my fun sitcoms, and I need that happily ever after, because I can't. If I'm going to escape, I want to escape and feel good about it and not walk away and crying my eyes out. So that's the only thing that I've been true and throughout, you know, my entire adult life. It's always been, you know, the kind of books that I read. I'm a Hallmark movie channel.
No. Oh, yeah.
I can't get enough of those.
Just watch one today. No, I know. Me too. I've read plenty of the others. But yeah, I agree with you on the state of the world and needing the escape. I mean, it go to a romance book, because if you know there's going to be happily ever after, you aren't going to be, you know, you're not going to walk away feeling down or sad. Or
I mean, I do enjoy good book that gives you that book hangover. I do, but it's usually wrecks me for like a year, then, you know, before I get the nerve up to read another one like it. So usually all the others that are in between are all just happy.
Yeah. No, happy's good. And like I was saying, I think that makes romance readers some of the most happy and compassionate people, because they're all happy. They know that They count on the happy ending. You know, they make that escape. They don't always just watch the news. So it's all good.
And until your husband says, don't you watch the news? Don't you know what's going on? I prefer not to.
No,
you
I
tell
don't.
Me. That's yeah, what I have right. you for.
That's what my husband tells me. He's like, that's what I have you for. It's just too depressing.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll be watching The Bachelor and he'll shake his head like, really?
My husband too, yeah. So we were watching The Bachelorette the other night, and I'm sitting yeah. here shaking my head going, are you kidding me? He's like, I just love this. Like, oh my God. My husband is addicted to The Bachelorette. So,
oh,
and
right.
it was 75-year-old mother that got him into it. So it's like, okay, great. This is great.
That's awesome.
I know, it's funny. Well. So, if you, let me see, I just lost my train of thought. See, you write, you've stuck to contemporary romances, but do you read outside of contemporary as far as subgenres? Do you read other types of romances, like romantic suspense or, well, you like James Patterson.
I read romantic suspense, and I've written the True Heroes series that I have is romantic suspense.
Okay.
It's funny, I write like I read, mm-hmm. meaning like I haven't just stuck to the contemporary romance genre. I have one book that's a rom-com that I'm spinning off uh-huh. into a series, and I did the romantic suspense. I did the baseball standalone. Like, so it almost like
yes.
mirrors my mood when I'm a reader.
Okay.
And I'm trying different pockets within the romance genre. I do happen to like the romantic suspense genre the best to write.
Like, fun to
I'm
write,
surprised
yeah.
by that. Yeah. I enjoyed writing those three books. It took me by surprise, but they flowed kind of effortlessly, and you know, the research that's involved, you know, and all that, I enjoyed uh-huh. it from start to finish. So, and the rom-com was fun to write too, but you know, I the only thing I don't think I'll ever read or write, I'm not into historical romance,
uh-huh.
Paranormal, I'm not into that either. I don't uh-huh. think I could ever write paranormal. I mean, I've
I
read them and I've enjoyed them, but I don't think I could ever write it. It's my brain doesn't go there.
Exactly. Yeah. No. It's and I've talked about this with a lot of other authors too. It's one of those like I don't think I could keep up with my own world building. You know,
yeah.
I would forget
yeah.
it all. I would break all my own rules and. Like, which one of these people is a werewolf? I can't remember. see, I love yeah. historical, but and I would love to do the research, but yeah, it's just those people, they blow my mind. People who can keep things consistent like that, you know, because you've got the fact checkers and you got the ones who are going to go, oh, you broke your own rule if you don't, you know, if you don't
right.
do it right, they're going to tell you, or if, oh, that's not right for that century or that time period or whatever. So, yeah, contemporary safe. And
yes.
romantic suspense is fun because you get to add so much more conflict, you know.
Yes,
and,
as long as you delete your history. Which I had to do every night during my second book, which is about the mafia. I had to delete the history every night.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's funny. I did see a thing that said it was a medical alert bracelet somebody had, and it was for authors, and it says If I should unexpectedly die, please delete my browser history.
I've seen that. Yeah.
I've never seen it on a medical alert bracelet, though. I was like, that is so appropriate, though. Yes, because
you're right. I've seen it on a coffee mug.
You're funny. Well, yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah, research is research. And, yeah, you know, you get into some weird stuff doing
yeah.
suspense of any kind. So tell us a little bit about your series, that series, The True Heroes.
The True Heroes series, the first book was Stone Walls. That was released last year, and then it was re-released in March under Love Swept. And it's about a New York City cop. So he kind of started the whole series off, and once I had him and wrote that book, the second and third kind of spun off of that. So they're mm-hmm. each standalones, but the characters cross over.
Okay.
So the second book is about an FBI agent, and the third book is about an Army vet.
Oh, okay.
And they're all connected, yeah. But they're just they're great. I just love all three of them. If I had to pick one, I couldn't. Yeah. So I just enjoyed writing them. They're just very, very much more complex than obviously my Rockstar series. And and just the storyline itself just consumed me. Yeah, that was just fantasy. but the True Hero series consumed me, like from start to finish. So it was exhausting too. Actually, it was the first book that Stonewalls was the first book that I was like, I guess every waking moment of every day was spent on thinking about that book, which didn't happen up until that point for me. So it's kind of a learning process. It was learning to walk away, and I did. And
yeah.
I gave myself extra time to write the book because it was exhausting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't read one book during that book, which was hard. It was depressing. It was hard.
Yeah.
But I was loving the writing part so much that I wasn't missing the reading. But that was probably the longest stretch of time I went without reading a book, because I just was so consumed with this one character.
So he really got into your head.
Yeah, he really did. And she did. She did. The female character also got into my head. So it was a good experience. But and I, when it was done, I thought when I went into it, I thought it was going to be a one and done. And once I was finished with it, I decided to make it a series because I surprisingly loved how much I enjoyed writing it. So
when you went to Random House to pitch the book, did you pitch it as a series, or did you pitch the one?
I only had the one, and it was out. Uh-huh. It was released already. And then I said at that point I was considering a series, but I wasn't 100% dedicated to that yet, and it kind of spun off. And chatting with them is what made, you know, the series come about and come alive.
Very cool.
And almost realistic, yeah. So it was a collaborative effort, but in the back of my mind I wanted to, but I didn't know if I was going to, because I have so many other books I want to write.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the book, you know, the book of ideas is getting bigger and bigger, but there's not enough time to get them all out there.
I was going to say, how do you manage all the ideas? Because I know once you get once you get creative juices flowing, then you always get them bombarded with other great ideas.
That is true. And sometimes when you want certain characters to talk to you, they have nothing to say. And the ones that are talking are like, you know, a book that you have no plans on writing for another year. And you move things around, which I did with the last book over the summer. I had to actually move that book up because they wouldn't shut up. And it had a lot to do with, it was almost a tribute to my parents and how they met. And my parents celebrated their 50th anniversary last summer. So this book was a tribute to them. And it was, you know, the whole Insta-love discussion that's out there and whether people believe in it and people who don't. And I'm a product of it. So I kind of wrote that book tongue-in-cheek, kind of like, I do believe in Insta-love. Here I am. And that book came about for that reason. So I kind of had to push it up and write it because those characters wouldn't shut up. They wouldn't leave me alone.
Blame it on your parents.
All their fault. So I'm not in therapy. I write books.
Well, you know, every good author has, you know, multiple personality complex or something, you know, because you got to have the things going on.
And no one understands that unless you're either a reader or an author, because, you know, the people in my life that aren't in this world will look at me like, what do you mean they're talking to you? Like, what are you talking about?
Well,
do
and
I
it's
need
true,
to call
like
the
you
doctors?
Said. Yeah, right. Even if you read a good book, I mean, if you're reading a really good book and you are identifying with the characters or you're just really into them, they, you know, you close your eyes at night and you stop thinking about those books, you know, the book and what's going on.
Yeah, they're as real to you as anybody you met. Yep.
Absolutely. And that's how you know it's a well-written book. You know, if you can engage with the characters on that level, then you know that's going to stay with you forever. I mean,
exactly.
Those characters don't leave you. So, And that's a good book hangover too. So
yes,
especially when a series ends and you're like, ah, no,
damn it. Then you just start it over.
Yeah.
I have series that I just go back to every so often. And it's funny, you know exactly what's going to happen, but it's all still new to
matter.
You. Yeah, it doesn't.
Doesn't matter. You're still with them that way, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad, sad, pathetic life of romance readers, but that's okay.
It is okay.
Because it makes me happy. But yeah, it's harder though when you write, you know, because you're trying to make them happy, putting it down in the computer or putting it down on paper, you know, trying to get them to shut up in your head.
Right.
So do you have like a set time where you write, or do you carry something around where, like, if you've got to get it out, you get something out? Do you have an app on your phone or
I
app on my phone. If I have ideas, I put it in my phone, but some people have recorders, like voice recorders.
I use my notes in my phone, but I don't trust that. They don't get lost, so I immediately email them to my email.
Okay, well, that's smart.
Just in case. Yeah. I keep a pad and pen on my nightstand, because there have been times in the middle of the night that I've thought of things and I have to write it down.
Uh-huh.
I don't have one place. I keep a pad and pen in my car. you never know when an idea is going to pop up, or, you know,
right,
a conversation that you know, your characters want to have or something. But, yes, I do keep things, you know, places to keep track of it all everywhere in my house. And then the funny thing is, in the middle of the night, I'll write one word, and the next day I'll have no idea what that meant. No clue.
On a piece of paper about she does this to him, and, you know, a family member walks by and goes, what?
What? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But as far as writing, what time of day do I write? There's no rhyme or reason. In the beginning, I was a little bit more regimented. I'd get up, I'd do my social media in the morning, and then I try to write in the afternoon, and then after, you know, with the kids and all that was done and dinner, and then I try to write at night. But now I'm finding, like, there's no rhyme or reason. It could be any time during the day. It could be in the middle of the night, which I'm not sleeping very well lately. So that's happening more often. It's just sporadic and crazy.
Oh, well, you get it done, though. That's good.
Yeah. I do get into panic mode. I'm in panic mode right now, actually.
Oh, no. Are we up against a deadline?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we're sending positive energy your way then.
Thank you.
You probably need that in a glass of wine or something. So.
I can't drink while I'm writing. I have discovered that.
So you get too much back on Facebook?
Yeah, I end up I'm like a squirrel. Like, oh, wow, look, a notification. And then before you know it, it's an hour has gone by and I totally forgot what I was writing.
Yeah, I've been there, done
way
that.
Way too much. Yeah.
So we're about halfway through the show. I'm going to put the phone number out in case anybody wants to call in and chat with you or ask questions or, you know, grill you over something. It is 347-633-9609. Anybody can call in to talk to A.M. Madden. Okay, so we're on the downside here. So let's talk what are some of your favorite book boyfriends over the ages? What are some
that
stuck with you? Yeah, as a reader.
Well, you know, I'm obviously going to have to say Christian Grey. He's in top three. Yeah. But
take me to your playroom for sure. Yes.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I read those books and how many times I've seen the movie. So we're counting down to the next one. But, yes, he's definitely in my top three, five, whatever. I love S.E. Stevens, and I love her, Callan Kyle. He's stuck with me. Samantha Towles, Jake Weathers has stuck with me. Several of Colleen Hoover's main characters stuck with me. Yeah, I love Vi Keelan's writing. I love Penelope Ward. All her guys have stuck with me. Tina Reber, one of the first series I read right before I started writing myself, was her Love Unscripted and Love on Repress. Yeah, he stuck with me, Ryan. So I have a long list, and it's funny because when I do a takeover for my readers and I'll ask that question, you know, who's your top three, I get like like some of them refuse to answer. That's not fair. You can't do this to us. So, and I totally get it. They're right, but
yeah.
I still like to ask the question.
Yeah.
And my own character, Jack, I don't want to sound, you know, conceited, but he has stuck with me. Maybe because he's my first and because I just wrote him just the way I want a man to be. I don't know, but he is definitely one of my top favorites.
Well, one of the joys in writing is to be able to create the perfect man for you.
and him I did. So he, dimples included. I'm a dimple lover.
He was the backup. He was in backup.
Yes, he's backup.
Okay.
So he was my first.
Oh, first love.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the backup then. I mean, we've got to get to know him.
Yeah, well, that series is 5 books long, and I'm definitely going back to it, and I'm planning a spinoff from that series on to a different series, a secondary band that's in the books. So that's coming, hopefully, in the future. But the first series, I had a dream, and the dream was the third book, so I kind of worked backwards.
Okay.
What I had in the dream was when I ended the 3-book series. It was originally just 3 books, the first 3, and then I ended up writing a 4th book on a secondary character that my readers fell in love with.
Uh-huh. Always happens.
And I will never do that again. And it's funny because they know I kid, but, you know, his name is Trey, and Trey was a thorn in my side and still is. And that was the hardest book I ever written. Because of the fact that, it wasn't, like, coming from me.
Uh-huh.
And it took a long time to connect to him. I'm happy with his story, but he definitely gave me gray hair over writing it. So whenever I go to writings, I'll be like, you know, I'll ask them, you know, because my readers are almost split between Jack and Trey, and I'll ask, you know, Trey or your Jack lover? And when they say Trey, I'm like, ugh. So, yeah. And then I wrote a 5th book, a novella, that I had gifted to a lot of my readers at the Christmas time, after the first series was written. So, it's still, you know, near and dear to my heart. And every so often I'll go back and read that 3rd book. It's the 3rd book that really, really gets to me.
Because that's the one that you envisioned at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that started it all.
So the premise on that is he is a rock star?
He is a rock star, and he's up and coming, him and his band. They're not famous in the first book yet, and they take on a female backup singer. It's just, you know, the success, the issues that they have with success, and all the other things that, you know, are constantly sabotaging their relationship. The fact that they work together and she works for him and all that. So the first book is very, it's like the build of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it's funny because they don't really get together till, like, you know, later in the book. It's more about the relationship and how it built between them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second book takes them on tour.
Uh-huh.
And the third book, they've reached success.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So you are obviously, you talked about, you know, your nod to Springsteen and rock. So you are obviously a fan of the rock stars.
Yes.
So if you had to envision your main character from the series as someone, who would you say it was closest to?
Rock star wise or like?
Yeah.
Muse-wise.
Oh, Muse-wise.
It's funny because Muse-wise, I don't know if you are familiar with Pedro Saltz. He's a model. I saw him right as I was writing the first book. A picture of him popped up on my feed, and the minute I saw him, I said, he's Jack.
Oh, okay.
Funny, he's Brazilian, and he has an accent, but his face is Jack. dimples and all. Yeah. So he's kind of stuck as my muse throughout the whole series, and most of my readers identify him as Jack also.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
That's just cool how you do that.
As far as the real life, I'm sorry?
That's just cool how you do that. You know, you like identify, that's the face, that's it, right there,
Yeah. Yeah, when you see, you know. And it's funny, though, because on my first book cover, I don't have a male face on it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people, you know, I've met several readers from the first book who don't identify Jack that way. So, you know, mm-hmm. as a reader, even myself, like once I have a picture in my head, you know, of who I identify that main character with, you know, I envision that person throughout the whole book. But if mm-hmm. someone will say to me, no, he's like, you know, Jamie Dornan. No, he's not Christian. This one's Christian. You know, I'm like, no, definitely not. So, you know, on that note, just like, you know, as a reader, I get it. And as an author, I get it. So I don't want to do it too much, but he is my muse. And I don't think as far as a real life rock star, there isn't anyone out there because Jack's perfect. He's just perfect.
Well, there you go.
Can't compete to any man I ever met. Hubby knows. He's well aware.
Well, you know, how can you compete with what you've built on your own? So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to find a human version of him out there, but I'm sure somebody exists.
Are you a concert goer? Do you like to go to concerts?
I am, and I do, Springsteen being my number one.
But
my husband and I, we like the Eagles, Led Zeppelin, all the classic rock. So we do enjoy going to concerts a lot.
Okay, well, that says a lot about, you know, where you're getting some of these kind of influences from. So that you grew up being a concert-going type of person. So obviously, you have the influence of Springsteen. It's so close by. So
yes. Haven't met him ever, but one day.
Actually,
if you're listening, Bruce.
Yeah, right? Bruce, she's waiting. She's waiting. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool to have him, like, come to RT or something?
Oh, wouldn't that be cool,
It would be cool. So you have managed to become a full-time author and still be a mom. How have you juggled those things?
I think it's all timing too, because my boys are older. My oldest is a sophomore. He just finished sophomore year in college, and my mm-hmm. youngest is going into a senior year next year. And so this, I don't think I could have done this 10, 15 years ago. I tried, mm-hmm. actually started writing a children's book back then, and with, you know, life getting in the way and how hard it was to get published and, you know, getting it illustrated, and I just gave up and I didn't have the time to dedicate to it. So it wasn't the right time. So it definitely had to do with timing and, you know, my kids having grown and then the self-publishing craze. It was perfect storm kind of thing.
Right.
And it just worked out. Yeah. And getting laid off.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It all seems to have happened at the same, just a perfect coincidence, you know, moment there for you. That's pretty awesome. What do you look forward to, like, as a continuing author? What are some things that you aspire, like, you know, if you could say, like, 5 years from now, I would really like to be in this situation as an author.
I don't like to do that. I just, I really just want to almost keep going. And anything else that happens is frosting for me.
Yeah.
You know, obviously pay the bills. This is my career now. This is my source of income. So that's pretty much the only goal that I want to maintain from year to year to year, keep coming up with the ideas. I worry because I walk into a room and not remember what I walked into that room for. So as long as my brain doesn't go.
That's just called
that's
middle
goal,
age and I have
my brain not to go. And as long as I'm not, you know, losing my mind and keep writing, that's what I want. And then anything else that comes with it, you know, is just thrusting for me.
Oh, so, well, that's a good thing. That's a good way to look at it. So what do you have?
Otherwise, it can get really stressful. I put a lot of stress on myself. Yeah.
Yeah, you can make some pretty unrealistic expectations if you
I have dreams, and I hope those come true, but my goal is just to maintain this from year to year to year and keep putting out. I try to put out 3 to 4 books a year. That's my goal.
So you have about a, you know, 4-month writing period or, you know, between books. That's pretty good. Pretty prolific. Most people like to get 1 or 2 out a year, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, so far it's been working. So I hope to keep that up.
So tell us a little bit about your most recent release. It just came out in May, right? At the end of May?
Yes, it came out at the end of May, and that was the second book in the True Heroes series, which is called Glass Ceilings.
Okay.
And again, it's a standalone, but it was a spinoff character-wise. It's a spinoff from the first book.
Okay, and this is the one about the FBI agent?
Yeah. He's an FBI agent, and you know, I'm very happy with that book. Also, it was also very fun to write, the research and all that, and just stepping out of your world, you know, something you don't really know. Yeah, so it was fun. And then the third book is coming in November, and he's an Army vet. Yeah, and that's called Dark Corners.
Dark Corners. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you said you also have another book coming out in September?
Yes. The September book is actually book 2 in that romantic comedy series that I started, So, again, crossover characters, but they could each be read as standalones. And this is called Hostile Workplace. And
that sounds good.
I'll let you use your imagination, but... Sam is, you know, for lack of a better word, he's a little bit of a jerk at the beginning. but we all love that kind of lovable jerk. So, he's a lovable jerk, but he is a jerk. And it's all about, you know, who he meets along the way and how he gets transformed.
Now, how did you feel when you went from writing contemporary to the romantic comedy? Because romantic comedy is so heavily dependent on the dialogue.
Yes. And it's funny, though. My contemporary romance series, the backup series, is very there's a lot of humor in it. It's heavy in humor throughout all the books. So I kind of it was fun, actually. It was a lot of, you know, I fed a lot of it from, you know, real-life situations and my family situations, and a lot of it seeped into that book.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's,
we won't tell them.
Yeah. They know. They know. My family would make a great reality TV show. So, it kind of bled into this book. But it was easier to write than I thought because, I guess, because I'm surrounded by so much humor.
Humor.
It poured out of me. This second book, though, is not as easy as the first book, so I kind of jinxed myself, maybe, I don't know, but this one, he's giving me a little bit of a hard time again. So, that's
so this is the one you're still working on? Yeah,
yes,
okay.
This is the one. This is him. So, he's kind of not speaking very well, all that much lately, and he's not talking, and I'm getting panicked now.
Oh, he's being a little bit too much of a jerk then.
Yeah, he's really being a jerk. So.
Well, that sounds really good. And those are the kind of books that, you just read them and, you're so glad for that break, you know, from reality to just laugh.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, easy read, great summer read. And, you know, there's angst, but not a lot. And, you know, for anyone who's looking for a ton of angst, you know, they're not going to find it in this series.
Right.
Definitely not. Yeah. It's more of a, you know, fun type of read. So.
Well, you're very diverse, and I like that. I I do love authors that, you know, you're used to putting out the, you know, same type of book all the time, because sometimes you just want to go to that. You know they're safe. You know it's going to be this and in the parameters of their usual storyline. But I do love when you get to know an author and they write in other subgenres, so you can experience, you know, their other voice. I mean, it's like you've got the same voice, but now you're adding a romantic comedy spin to it, or now you're adding in danger and intrigue.
Right,
and, yeah, it's great, because it also helps you also grow. You know, you grow because you step outside the box, like you were saying, and
right
outside your comfort zone a little.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I'm pretty much mirroring, like I said, you know, my taste as a reader. Mm-hmm. I don't stick to one. I usually bounce around depending on my mood. So I've found that that's what's happening with my writing.
I hope I don't do that, because I'll be writing some weird stuff. I said I hope I never do that, because I'll be writing some weird stuff. So that I never want to write. I mean, I read it sometimes, but I never want to write it. So, because if my mom taught me writing that stuff, oh my God.
I get you. There's some stuff I read too that I don't think I could write. Brain won't go. Yeah. But I enjoy reading it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. It makes Christian Grey blush, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope I never write what I'm into at the moment, because sometimes, woo! Yeah. Anyway, well, we're getting close to, we got about 10 minutes left. So let's cover the bases where, let's give everybody your website, tell them where they can find you online, all your social media areas.
Okay. My website is www.ammadden.com. From there, you can connect to any of my social media outlets and my blog. Point of sale search sites and all that is on there. But I'm also on Facebook under A.M. Madden Author. I'm on Instagram, Twitter. That's it. I don't do Snapchat.
I can't understand Snapchat. Can you?
Thank you. Like, what are you talking about? It's so easy.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. And Twitter and I are not getting along very well. I do the obligatory, you know, I have my Facebook, you know, feed into Twitter, but otherwise I go on to Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go on and I'll see, like, I have, like, you know, 99 plus notifications. I'll be like, oh, damn, I forgot about Twitter. So I hope anyone, if you've contacted me on Twitter, I apologize. Of all the places to reach me, that would be the last one that I suggest, because I'm never on Twitter. Facebook is pretty much, that's where I'm at. And Instagram. Instagram's nice and easy.
Oh, yeah. Instagram's fun. I like Instagram.
Yeah.
I've seen all kinds of interesting things, and it's opened up lots of, I don't know, just different things for me, so... I like to watch the lives of famous people.
Okay, yeah. I get you.
Like
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Like, I feel like J.J. Watt is my best friend all of a sudden. Anyway. Just because I see him without a shirt on every now and then. Okay. Anyway. Fun time.
Fun.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show. We already talked about what you've got coming up. I'll make sure I'm covering all the bases here. Do you have any plans for, are you participating in any of events coming up in the fall or anything?
In the fall, I'll be in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, at Unmask the Romance. That's actually the last signing I have this year. And then next year, I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, Authors in the City. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be at the Authors in the Bluegrass Kentucky signing, which I can't wait to go to.
And
then I'm doing the Big Apple author signing in New York City.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah,
you've got a big time plan.
I might not be
year.
At my table. I'm warning people now, because there's so many people I'm going to be fangirling
over.
You've
got to go fangirl, too.
I can't guarantee I'll be sitting at my table, but I don't think anyone's coming to see me. Because I'll be bouncing around anyway, so. But I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, that sounds great. Well, good luck. And it sounds like you've got a very busy fall and spring planned. So, I'm so glad we were able to get you on the show this evening. And I hope to hear from you again. And maybe, we can have you back on sometime.
I'd love that. Thanks so much for having me, Tabitha.
Oh, I'm so glad you got on. And again, you can find her at www.ammadden, that's two M's in there and two D's, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find you at all the links there. And all your books are in all the major outlets too. So
online, yep. Thank you.
Yep. Well, I appreciate it. And you have a great evening up north and enjoy your summer.
Thanks. You too. I'll hope to speak to you soon.
Yes, ma'am. Take care.
Thank you.
And thanks again, everybody, for listening in tonight. You can find me on Facebook at The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I'm on Twitter as HOT_Librarian_. And I think Google Plus is Tabitha Pope. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Authors on the Air Global Radio Network can be found online at www.authorsontheair.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, I think Instagram, and just about anywhere else you can think of in the social media world. Thanks again for letting me share my passion for romance and the hottest authors and young adult, new adult, and adult romance with all of you. And thanks to my hubby for watching my kiddo in there while I do my show. I will see you all next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time right here on The Librarian. And until then, have sweet dreams. Good night.